welcome to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we are doing Hammerwatch and The Novelist.
Indeed. We're going to start out with Hammerwatch,
yeah,
which is a fantasy hack and slash game developed by Crackshell, but primarily the product of two people, Joachim Skoglund and Niklas Myrberg. So... Fun names to say, fun games to play, Hammerwatch, day after day.
Agreed.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, so what's cool about Hammerwatch, Nick?
So Hammerwatch is pretty much just a modern-day Gauntlet. It's very, very similar to the classic Gauntlet games. It is online co-op with four classes to choose from, and huge, sprawling levels. With a lot of enemies and enemy spawners and items to collect. And it's neat because it adds a little more depth to the sort of leveling up of your powers than was in Gauntlet, the original ones. And it's more flashy. And the four different classes kind of have a lot of real fun mechanics to them that play well with each other and make for a really fun co-op game.
Yeah, they all play or have kind of very clearly different roles. And the original Gauntlets, which is what this is based off of, not the like Nintendo 64 Gauntlet, right, Legend things. Like, the original Gauntlets didn't have leveling up. So this is kind of a mix between your real standard action RPG with a Gauntlet skin on it. And it comes down to the aesthetics too. Like, the graphics are, you know, super pixely, you know, 8-bit style and everything. And it's just, it's kind of about... hordes and hordes of enemies. Kind of like, you know, playing it made me realize I had never been sure up until this point, or realized how much, like, the dual stick shooter genre has, how much it owes to, like, a Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Or, like, even something like Torchlight, which is obviously a roguelike, but, like, Diablo has a lot in common with Gauntlet. Like, Gauntlet was never randomized.
Yeah, for sure.
But just kind of hordes of enemies and the spawn points. You know, yeah, of enemies.
Yeah, where you have the only way to really clear the level is by not only killing all the enemies on screen, but they're going to keep coming at you if you don't destroy the spawners that are creating them infinitely until you knock them all down.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of got a lot of it's kind of interesting to go back to the such an early kind of progenitor of something that's very popular right now.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's a lot of fun to play co-op.
I would go as far as say it's only fun to play co-op.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say it's probably not very fun to play solo. But I mean, that's true of Gauntlet too.
Mm-hmm.
But this really, really throws it back. Like, it is difficult as all hell, and you'll be spending a lot of your earnings in game on more lives to keep yourself going. The levels just go on forever.
Yeah, I'm gonna go as far as to say that's kind of a down point to it. Like, I got a little bit frustrated by the fact that, like, one, you know, there's such a lot, you know, if you die, there are some checkpoints that you can continue from, but you have a set number of lives. It's not, you know, modern in that respect where you just kind of have unlimited lives.
Right.
But there's so much space between getting to new scenery and new enemy types. You know, like, the first level is just, like, it's so big. It's one of the first big, you know, the biggest first levels I've seen in a game. And I just think that breaking that up with a little bit more variety would have been kind of a smart thing to do. So kind of going through it, like, it is very fun, but it really makes you realize how much you rely on those just kind of changes of scenery and minute changes in mechanics, introduction of new kind of twists and enemies to keep things fresh.
Yeah, it definitely could use a little bit more varied tile sets within each of the different worlds of the game. Like, they have sort of multiple maps, usually pertaining to, like, separate levels in the world you're in, but they use the same tile set in each of them. Without the mini-map, or, you know, the kind of overlay you can get of the map, that would be completely difficult, like, impossible to navigate alone. Mm-hmm. And if you died, trying to get back to where your friends were would just be a totally exhausting experience.
Which, and it's already not the most fun thing in the world to like try to get back there. Like yeah, sometimes your spawn point is pretty far back.
Yeah.
But it is also, it's like, it, you know, living in this golden age of PC gaming, like you probably already own Hammerwatch, through a bundle or something. And, if you get, I only play a 2-player, but I imagine 4-player, it really shines.
Yeah. I played it 4-player and it was just like a lot of fun. We even did like, I think we did one of the games, kind of just a gimmick run with everyone being the Ranger.
Okay.
Just like flinging arrows everywhere. Like it's pretty fun. Trying to play it to completion is gonna take a chunk of time, and not just a chunk of time where you can like chip away at it. You have to do a whole map kind of in one go. The online setup kind of isn't the best, so trying to do it mid-map is gonna be. I think we had one of our saves break on us and had to kind of go back and redo one level. So you definitely need to set aside time for it, but yeah, it is a pretty fun experience once you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, like hectic. A lot of like if you enjoy backpedaling and shooting things, which I guess that was the big game. Like, you know, when I compared it to Torchlight, because that's how I spend most of Torchlight.
Right.
You know, since I'll tend to play a ranged character.
I mean, I've had a lot of fun with the N64 Gauntlets even, and the original Gauntlets, and like I think it's a really fun co-op experience just to be everyone walking around. It's kind of feeds on that MMO, you know, grinding and killing a bunch of things with friends. But without the MMO experience of a bunch of random strangers who are all terrible idiots and really annoying.
Yeah, yeah. Or just, you know, go collect 10 of these things. Like this, like one of the things that the game does that I like about it, as much as it's a little bit, you know, it's not revolutionary, but it is, it's also, you're just kind of free to explore the levels. You know, like there are kind of branching paths. There are lots of secrets.
Lots of secrets.
Tons and tons of hidden walls and like hidden switches and stuff like that. Like it really rewards exploration, which is a fun thing to do when you have lots of people. Together, you're all kind of poking through these walls and stuff. So I like it. I you know, I thought it was pretty good. It's not necessarily my favorite take on this genre.
No.
But I did. It is a good fun time if it's you got friends to play with.
Yeah, it's definitely worth playing. A couple of the sort of tweaks it's made to the recipe that really helps that club experience too. Like it has huge bosses that will show up in the middle of a level. It's not just grinding away at endless little enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And those require sort of cooperation of everyone trying to, you know, someone do the old MMO trope of aggroing the enemy while the others take chip away at it. And like you said, the exploration elements, there's in every level, this is kind of a little aggravating. I'll spoil a little bit at the end here in this, but in the secrets, you will find these items that all they say when you pick them up is a strange plank. With a question mark at the end. And they do nothing until the very end of the game. If you get through a whole run with the same people, which is a very difficult thing to do, you beat this last boss, and the castle you're in starts falling apart as you're trying to make your escape. I assume there's a different ending if you got all the planks, because you kind of start to escape, and your planks get laid down on this bridge. And if you have all the planks, it leads somewhere. We did not have all the planks, and we died. So there's sort of, I assume there's two endings. I have no idea what's in that other ending, but be warned ahead of time, because I wish I was, that you should search out every plank to get the better ending.
Yeah, I think that some of that kind of obtuseness is supposed to be part of its, you know, 8-bit heritage.
I agree.
Like having that, and the even down to like the individual keys and items, like you have at the top of your screen, your GUI is like this. You know, this, it's like a blue ankh, a yellow ankh, and two different kinds of keys, and then like a fifth item. And you know, it's like, what are these things? Like, it took a while to figure out what things were and what they did.
Yeah.
But it's very intentional and makes a sense. I definitely found some planks, and ran around the level trying to use them, which was frustrating.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And the idea of you building this bridge, like, that's a really weird way. Like, they could have had it, like, you know, six mystic crystals that opened a door or something, too.
Nope.
You know, but planks, like, you're panic bridging.
Yep. I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anyway, good game, and you guys should check it out.
Worth checking out. Next up, we're going to be talking about The Novelist, which is a 2013 game from Orthogonal Games, made by one dude. Ken Hudson, who made the game and also did the music for it, and is available on the PC.
And it is a story game. It's a first-person 3D game and has some stealth elements to it if you kind of choose. Like, there's kind of a choice right at the beginning whether or not you even want the stealth elements to play a role. But mostly it is a storytelling game told via this family in this house. It's their summer home. The father of which is a novelist, and his wife is a painter.
He's the novelist.
He's the novelist. And his wife is a painter, and they have a child they are raising.
Who's a little bit slow.
He's a little bit slow.
Yep. They have a child who's a little bit behind.
And so kind of the main gameplay portion of the novelist is that you have to kind of read into their memories and sort of notes left behind to see what each of the three characters is sort of gunning for in this section of time which each chapter of the story takes place. And then at the end of it, you can help influence the novelist's choices for better or for worse for different people of the family.
Yeah. Yeah, and the idea being, so like the gameplay loop is walking around reading thoughts and reading notes.
Yes.
Everyone is constantly leaving notes for each other in the house, or just writing things. Like I kept finding documents that were writings that weren't to anyone. Like they weren't part of a journal or part of a letter. It's like someone just took a blank piece of paper and just decided to write down what they were thinking for
like you have a
nothing.
Journal for this. So.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could write it. You could talk to the person like you sleep next to them.
Yeah.
Or just finding, and then you can go into their memories, which kind of shows like the night before, earlier in the day, or sometime recently.
Yeah.
And hunt down. It's got a real like hunt down three things. Like yep. Each day you're hunting down three things in the house for
all
each person
three per people,
and then each three people you go into their memory and find three little scenes.
Yep.
And the whole like the hook of it is that no one, you can't make everyone happy.
Correct.
You know, that's what it's supposed to be doing, is like this tough decision. If you make the choice to support the novelist and help him get through his writer's block, it's going to damage his family. If you support your son, it's going to damage your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you support the relationship, you're not going to have as much time for your work. Like it's this, you know, dark rock, paper, scissors,
right?
Kind of relationship between the three things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, I think, and then we should also say the reason why there is a stealth element is because you are a ghost.
Yes.
Which is a weird bit. Like, you are not a person or even just, like, a player. Like, you are explicitly a ghost who is influencing his decisions and kind of like a benign version of The Shining.
Yes.
Like, if you're trying to convince, you know, Jack from The Shining to not kill his family, but rather to make them all happy, like... You are that.
Yeah.
Like the bartender from The Shining. But the, and if they see you, it can cause them to move away. But you can turn that on or off. And if you decide to do the stealth element, you kind of zap between lights.
Yeah.
And that's really all there is to it. Like you can get seen. It's not a big deal if you do a couple times. And there are plenty of lights in the house. Like you can get everywhere, just kind of going from light to light pretty much.
Yeah.
I thought the stealth elements were pretty tacked on and like felt like a very bald concession to gaminess.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. The only thing that actually happens when you get sighted twice by the same person in the house is that you cannot choose their compromise in the end of the game. So
okay.
You have to pick for each chapter, you pick a sort of main person to focus on, like whose main goal you want to be the one that the novelist chooses. And then you also get to pick a secondary one that is a compromise that kind of leaves that other person neutral, and as opposed to being disappointed in their pick not being the one chosen.
It is like a mini game from an RPG elevated, not a mini game, but like a side, like a relationship meter is a thing that happens.
Yeah.
In like BioWare games and stuff. And mm-hmm. like, oh, if I do this, you know, if I go out with Aeris at the Golden Saucer, it's going to make, you know, Tifa mad.
Right.
Like it's that. But for a whole game.
And not a short game.
No.
It's actually quite long. I think it took me like 5 hours or something. And it's the same thing for a long time, over and over again.
Yeah, spoiler, like I don't like this game. And it sounds like something I would be pretty into.
Right.
Like, I love Gone Home. Like, I like that style of game. But there's a couple key areas where I think this lets me down. One of which being that I think that the writing is really weak. Like as much as the central conflict is really interesting, like the idea that like, oh, this is a creative person struggling and they can't do it all. Like that's something I relate to.
Right.
You know, I think that that's good, but none of the characters are very interesting.
No.
You know, like he is not very interesting. It like it's written like the things he's writing about feel like they're written by somebody who doesn't really understand writing. Like whenever he's stuck with writer's block, it's all plot mechanics. Like,
yeah.
how can I get them to find out about the car without seeing the ad in the paper?
Exactly.
The magazine wouldn't have come out by that day. Like, as opposed to things that books are actually about, you know, which is not like, I can't wait to see how they find out about the Auto Trader ad. It's more like, oh, this is the theme or the feeling I'm trying to express or the character. Like, he just seems like the shittiest novelist. He's getting caught up on the garbagiest things. And in none of the other characters, like, the wife is not very interesting either. And their kid is just very, like, just draws pictures of what he wants. Like, here's a drawing of me and daddy. Here's a drawing of me and mommy. Here's a drawing of me eating dinner. Like, and that's the extent of the depth of his character, you know?
And what's even worse for the kid, like, the wife at least has writings to other people or stuff kind of expressing her distaste with the relationship or something, like, you know, certain things. All the kid does is, if you're on good terms with him, you'll find every single day, you'll find a painting of the kid that he made of him and his dad. And if you did good and the kid is happy with your choices, the kid is smiling in the picture. And if you did bad, the kid is frowning in the picture every day.
Buy that kid a fucking Game Boy. Like, he's the real victim of this. Can you imagine going to that, like, TV-less nightmare cave for an entire summer?
Yeah.
Like, where all you have is, like, a board game that I've seen him play by himself multiple times. and then, you know, a set of crayons and a piece of paper. Yeah. Like, I could entertain myself when I was young, but he's not that young. Like, you know, he should, and they allude to, like, I gave up about halfway through this game, but they're talking about his friend and how he wants to have his friend over for dinner. Like, why isn't he going out and playing with his friend?
Yep.
Like, why is this kid so fucking sullen? The kid doesn't, and then the kid couldn't spend the other thing, the second part that lets it down, other than the fact that I think the characters and writing isn't very strong, is that, so many of these problems, like, could just be solved by talking to the people.
Yeah.
Like, it's trying to express something that's very complicated, which is, like, when I choose to do, like, creative work instead of nurturing relationships I'm in, it takes, you know, months and months and months for there to be any kind of damage. It's never, like, if I have to say, like, hey, Elizabeth, I can't go out on a date tonight because I have to record, like, one time is not damaging our relationship
right.
to the amount that it damages this. Like, it's so, you know, he could just say, hey, you know, like, this is how I, you know, I have to just put, like, you know, he, at the end, he's, like, asking for, like, and I'm not trying to villainize her at all. Like, she, you know, she wants family time, and that's perfect. Like, he should value his relationship.
Right.
But nobody says, like, okay, like, there are compromises for all three things. You know, like, okay, well, let's have lunch with your parents. My friend will come over and we'll hang out. And then Billy can go spend the night at his friend's house instead of his friend coming here.
Right. All of the compromises you make aren't actually compromises. It's just keeping someone neutral. None of these problems are any big actual problems.
And the neutral is sometimes, like, should be plenty good. Like, there's one early on where she wants to, like, spend some time with you, and you, like, stop writing at, like, 7 and spend the night drinking wine and, like, watching movies with her, and she's like, it was all right.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What happened? I'm not saying, like, I'm not trying to demonize her in any way, but, like, that's pretty much what I want to do when I want to hang out with somebody. You know, like, hang out for a few hours before you go to bed. Like, does she want to, like, you know, is it a 24-hour cycle? You know, that it's just, and again, not he does the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, he gets really petulant and pissy when he can't, like, he can't take a day off. And she's just like, hey, like, my, you know, let's go to, I'm doing this gallery opening. Can you, you know, write a little thing for it? And he's like, no.
Right.
I can't do that. Like, no, it's going to take you fucking, there's 16
minutes.
Usable yeah. hours in a day. You know, come on.
Yeah, none of these are very big problems.
And I've watched you all day.
Yeah, I see. Like, he's like, I can't fucking, like, I need to shut my door so that I can write. And then you see him wandering around the house.
Yeah, shut it. Quit walking back and forth between these two rooms. It is like the people, like, the ghost watching people with the worst time management skills ever. You know? And it just lets it down. Like, in a way, like, it's aiming for something, like, Gone Home, in a way, is less ambitious because it's telling a story from one person to another, and the second person doesn't have an effect on the story.
Right.
Like, there's not the story in Gone Home is done before you get there, and the play part of it comes that the degree to which you experience it is based on how curious you are.
Right.
And that's the game. The fact that this is so, because it's aiming for this level of nuance that is closer to humanity, the fact that it is a game just, like, makes it fail.
Right.
You know, like, the fact that it has so few options, that there's so little room for gray, Or there's room for gray, but only gray, like halftone gray. There's black, white, and gray, and that's it.
Yep.
And it's just not enough for something that's like that complicated of a problem. You know?
Yeah, it's not like okay. So I beat the whole thing, which you did not do. But at the in the last sort of chapter of the game, and I'm not gonna say any specifics, so I don't think it's really all that spoilerific, because you pretty much know what's gonna happen. It's gonna be who you focused on and which area did you fail in, which areas didn't you fail in. But during the last section of the game, I pretty much made sure that the novelist kind of got the core focus most of the time, because it was his final crunch. It was like the last month in the summer that these guys are staying in the summer home, and they came here so that he could work on his novel. Like, that was the reason for them getting away from the city, when I was so he could finish up this novel that he needs to be released. So I focused on, like, just his stuff. And by the end of the game, his novel's still shit. So, like...
yeah. What do you need?
Right.
Like, how, you know, if the idea, and that is kind of like brave, if the idea is literally you have to sacrifice family for artistic success, and that's the only way you can get a good book, like, that is surprisingly pretty good. But it doesn't articulate it in any kind of like daring way up until that point.
I think you pretty much, in order to make his novel actually good, would have to focus on him the entire time. Destroy both of the other relationships. Like, your kid would fail in school and be constantly depressed, and your wife would have a divorce with you because you'd never spend any time with her or whatnot. So I'm pretty sure that's the only solution, because I got like mediocre results on both the other ones. Like, the only thing I didn't do was make the final choice in his favor, because that final choice doesn't affect the novel itself and would be detrimental to his relationship with his family.
Yeah.
But the novel itself was still bad. Like, it's just, this game is just it's a really good idea done terribly, terribly badly, I think.
Yeah, it's really frustrating and unsatisfying, and I wanted to like it so much.
Yeah.
Like, on paper, it sounds so much like the kind of thing I want to see from games. But I just, I just don't think it's very good, you know?
The other thing I would have liked out of it is to separate out the whole ghost thing and make a home invasion simulator where you have to... like sneak around like the guy does in the game, because otherwise it doesn't really play a role other than take away a couple small options. But I thought it was going to be a lot cooler in that I was this like spirit roaming around this house and couldn't be seen. It just wasn't.
Yeah, if you're going to make something that's the temptation is to be this kind of gleefully voyeuristic, you have to give us something more interesting to watch. You know, and like,
yeah,
and it's not, it doesn't need to be like Night Trap. Like, I don't need to see like sorority girls or anything, but have them fight or something. Like, it needed to have some kind of like, you know, evidence of like, that's why it feels so empty that they don't have enough time, because I know they have enough time. Like, what if, like, if you had to be at a certain place at a certain time to see them fight and that helped inform a decision, you know?
Yeah.
Like, all the written material makes you think that you want to side with the novelist, but then when you go and you watch this fight, he's a huge dickhead.
Right.
You know, or if you sneak outside the fight, the kid's watching and they don't know that.
Yep.
You know, like, there's just, and have it be, there's so many like kind of better ways to do that. But the only time where anything is actually, they're interacting with each other is during the memories, and you only get literally one line of dialogue from each one. Like, that actually has them talking to each other, whereas talking to each other would solve everything, you know?
And they don't talk to each other at all when it's not memories. Like, when you're just voyeuring around the house, the most interaction you have is if they pass each other, they say something, they say, like, the same line every time. Like, the dad passing the kid always says, "Hey, champ," and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the novels for you.
Yeah, it's got, like, the general critical consensus is, like, a 6 out of 10. I don't know if I even...
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like, 6 out of 10, 5 out of 10, like...
5 out of 10, maybe,
yeah. I don't really think it's... I think somebody gifted this to me, and I feel bad for disliking it as much as I did, because it's, you know... But I did want to play it. And, yeah, but not... I can't in good conscience recommend this.
It had a lot of good ideas, not executed very well.
Yeah, shitty execution, so... That's my take as well. Yeah, no spoiler section really.
No. Nope.
For this one, we told you his novel ends up being shit. You know, but I mean, it could not be.
In my decisions. I don't know if that's the case in everyone.
Yeah, that's knowing that he's working on a novel and it ends at the end of the thing is not really a spoiler.
No.
So yeah, we're just going to go ahead and wrap up with admin stuff.
Yep.
Nick, what can people do if they want to support the show?
Well, They can rate and review us on iTunes. It's probably the biggest boost to our listener base is, you know, people just scanning around for podcasts can find us on there, and you can help us be a bigger result if you rate and review us.
Mm-hmm.
But we are also available on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is Check It Out Comrade, facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade. And on Twitter, we are twitter.com/comradepodcast.
Indeed. Yeah. And tell a friend. If you know somebody who you think would like the show, pass it on. That's always, you know, a trusted recommendation from somebody you know is always the best thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And we'll be back with you in about 2 weeks with two more games that we think are worth consideration at the very least, if not worth your time.
See, that's why we say worth checking out. We're not going to say you're going to enjoy it, but you should check it out.
Yeah. We are just saying that it is worth listening to our show.
Right.
That's it. that's it. Check it out, comrade. The podcast about Check It Out, Comrade. The podcast about checking out the podcast.
Agree.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, guys.